George Bernard Shaw, who's just he was a playwright, once said, "The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. You think you've made a connection, you think you're clear, everyone, they're clear, we're clear. It's all for naught." So, today's sermonette is about communication. And as we go into it, I am going to read a few quotes, or a few sayings, I guess would be the term, that you're probably familiar with. The first is that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I imagine you've all heard that. The next one is, a jack of trades is a master of none. Jack of all trades is a master of none. The next one is, blood is thicker than water. Another common phrase is, curiosity killed the cat. One more common phrase, no, two more. Great minds think alike. Heard that one? And then, the customer is always right. That's a favorite saying of belligerent customers everywhere. But there's more to the story for every one of those. We're going to go through them. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. That is a quote from Oscar Wilde. But that's not the whole quote. So I'm going to read start to finish. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay to greatness. Meaning, so while the shorter version implies admiration, the complete quote adds a sting, suggesting that those who imitate the great works of others lack originality themselves. A jack of all trades is a master of none. So there's a whole lot of playwrights in here and authors. That's from William Shakespeare. A jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one. That's the whole phrase. Someone with many skills can be, the idea being that someone with many skills can be more useful than a specialist because they can adapt, connect ideas, handle diverse situations, which is a strength and not a weakness. How about blood is thicker than water? Well, the actual phrase for that reads like this: blood of the covenant is thicker than water of the womb. That means that chosen bonds, or referred to as a covenant, chosen bonds are stronger than birth ties or water of the womb. This is often used to emphasize that friends or chosen family can be more significant than biological relatives. That is the polar opposite of how blood is thicker than water is typically used. Curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back. Curiosity killed the cat, the first part of it, warns against prying or taking unnecessary risks, being nosy, implying it could lead to trouble. And sometimes that's true, but the addition, "but satisfaction brought it back," counters the negative, showing that seeking knowledge, satisfaction, ultimately redeems the risk. Now, great minds think alike. The rest of it is, so the whole thing reads, "Great minds think alike, but only fools rarely differ." Now, great minds think alike, the first part, acknowledges when two people have the same clever idea simultaneously, it can be you're both pushing each other up by having the same idea. You're validating each other. But the full phrase suggests that while shared insight is good, simple agreement isn't always a sign of brilliance. True thought requires analysis, not just conformity. The last one, the customer is always right. This is he's a business philosophy guy. Our author, Harry Gordon Selfridge. I thought we usually only referred to all three names of an individual when they were an assassin, but I don't think this guy killed was the business game, I guess. The customer is always right in matters of taste. That's the whole quote. And now this phrase, the customer is always right, is often used to excuse rude, abusive, or unreasonable behavior from customers. But the whole phrase means that the business shouldn't argue with the customer's personal preferences, but rather cater to their desires for sales. This reminds me of Josie and I, very early in our marriage, went to a furniture sales store. And it was a mistake. I'm not sure I'll ever go back to such an establishment. This guy was so desperate to sell us. I said, I built this nice bed, and we want to put a mattress on it. It's a queen-size bed, but he was running a special on king-size beds. So he says, well, you could just take your Sawzall and cut the edge off of the queen-size bed, and you can lay it down, put a little bracing, and then you can have a king-size. That was not what my tastes were after, and he was pushing pretty hard to tell me so. Now, so that's all the phrases, and so we'll talk about them a little bit. All of these common phrases are actually more common in their misinterpretations than they are in their original and complete form. Meaning, and given the nature of how basically almost all of them, the actual meaning of the whole phrase is 180 degrees from the part we all know and what we hear consistently. Meaning that those phrases are more effective at dissuading their intended virtues than they are at imparting them. This is a lesson to each of us, both as hearers and speakers. And the Bible has no shortage of instructions and or warnings for us on the matter. Now, as hearers, we are called to be patient and discerning. This is laid out in Proverbs. Actually, everything, it's amazing how books seem to follow trends. But yes, Proverbs has two scriptures we're going to reference referring to hearing and listening. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 is the first reference. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 reads, He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame to him. The other one is Proverbs 19 and verse 20, just across the page. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. So, changing to the other side of the equation, as speakers, we are urged to exercise prudence and be factual. Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Another scripture talking about speaking, Colossians 4 and verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That one probably could use with a great deal of expanding, but suffice to say, how we say things is very important. Matthew 12 and verse 36. It's another scripture we're going to read through real quick. Matthew 12 and verse 36. But I say to you, for every idle word that men may speak, they will give account for it in the day of judgment. Now, misspeaking on, only not quite grasping what a quote that you're trying to use is probably not going to be something that's going to hit hard against you in the day of judgment. But fact of the matter is, we're called to be intentional with our words. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 is another scripture that we'll take a look at. It's probably something you've heard before. We spend quite a bit of time up in Arkansas recently, and Mr. Tom Clark, he just read this today. We watched his message online. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Communication is an important part of our existence as part of this bustling and functioning society. Furthermore, language is an important piece of our calling, to the point that I would encourage us to make our communication a focus of our growth and development as Christians. Don't just communicate as you did before you were called. Become more and grow in the skill of communication through good listening and speaking habits. Our calling changes who we are. It should change how we communicate, and it should change it for the better. There's a few other sayings. I'm just a fan of sayings, so you're getting a full load of them today. A few other sayings, they're completely unrelated. A place for everything and everything in its place. Maybe that's familiar. It's a good one. Nothing wrong with that. The other one is a favorite of anyone that likes to frequent the buffets. That's, you'll probably see a sign there. Take what you can eat and eat what you take. We're going to propose another one after this pattern. Like I said, after the pattern of those completely unrelated adages, I propose we take mind of another. Now, we are not called to be the knowledgeable. We are not called to be knowledgeable. We are not only called to be knowledgeable of the hope that is within us, but we need to be able to effectively listen and speak so we can let our light shine in a manner that is worthy of our calling. So, the adage that maybe we should start to adopt goes like this. Know what you speak and speak what you know. Become good communicators and then utilize that skill to speak God's truth to the world. Know what you speak and speak what you know.